Hello and welcome to Webhack Wednesdays. I'm Martin Beebe.
And I'm Martin Kern.
And today we're going to be talking about Azure Functions.
We are indeed, yes.
Yes.
We're going to implement some functionality using Azure. I didn't have a joke this week.
So. All right, no worries. No. You can try.
Yeah, I know, that one was really bad. We're going to do some thumbnail generation in a smart way. So we're going to combine Azure Functions, which is a new thing in Azure, which was, I think it was announced at Build.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
With the Cognitive Services Computer Vision API.
Okay, yeah.
And we're going to bring these things together to generate basically smart thumbnail images based on images.
Okay, so what is Azure Functions?
So it's pretty simple, really. It's a way of basically running code in the cloud.
Right.
So either C# or Node, JavaScript code. And you can trigger the code or call it using a whole bunch of different things. So you can have it run on a schedule based on a timer. You can have it run in response to things that happen in Azure, like blob services, event hubs, service bus notifications, that kind of thing, push notifications.
So it's kind of like the you're not thinking about servers at all when we're doing this, or units of, you're just basically sending some code up to the Azure function system and then saying, on this particular event, execute this code, and we don't care about what machine it's on, how it's running, it's purely a PaaS solution platform.
It's part of the app service kind of package, but it's part of that. And it can respond to HTTP requests as well, which is another interesting way, so you can send an API call to it and it will respond. So there's a whole bunch of ways that these functions can be triggered.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of things they can do, but basically it's a bit of C# code, or it's a bit of JavaScript code that runs in the cloud and does whatever you want it to do, really.
Okay, so they're the two options for developing this, C# and
at the moment,
and Node, I guess.
Node, yeah. So at the moment, they are the two mainstream options, but there's a kind of experimental set which includes things like F#, Python, PHP, a whole load of other languages as well. So I guess going forward, it might be available in other languages.
So you could use functions with functional languages?
You could, that would be cool,
Okay.
We're going to just kind of get started with this. So I'm in my Azure portal now. I'm just going to create a new function app. I just go to the new section.
I've just realized that I've incidentally not switched to the right machine. Background.
That's an interesting perspective there.
Yeah.
Can't see what we're trying to look at. So it's probably not. Well, so it might be interesting. Your head is about where my mouse is now.
I like that. Look, disappear.
Ooh.
Reappear.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just me which finds that interesting. Okay, there we go.
Probably. Anyway, we'll write in viewers if you think that was interesting. So we're under the web and mobile section, which is kind of odd because you won't necessarily think of it like web and mobile, but that's where it is. And you're looking for a function app. That's what we're going to create here. So this is about creating smart thumbnails. So I think smart thumbs is probably a decent name for this. So I'm going to call it smart thumbs. I'm going to just create a resource group. I'm just going to use, I'll create a new resource group for this, call it Smart Thumbs. I'm going to create an app service plan. So this is the kind of billing model that you still messing about with.
I don't know what I was doing. I was making a mistake. I'm sorry.
The billing model that sits behind this. So I'm going to create a new app service plan. I'm going to make it, I'll just leave it at that. That's fine. And finally, we get to create a storage account. So we have to have a storage account associated with our function because at the very least, it uses it for logging information.
Okay.
But in our example, we're actually going to use it for other things as well. So we definitely want to.
So you associate a storage account and it's required.
It's a required thing. You have to have a storage account, yeah. So I'm going to call that Smart Thumbs as well. But for some reason, it has to be lowercase with storage accounts. Don't know why, but that's the way it is. And so we've got, that's the basic details of our function out there. So we're just going to create that. It's going to take a few minutes to create. So these function apps, they're very similar to something that's running in AWS. AWS have this thing called AWS Lambda.
Oh.
Is that a problem?
Yeah, I thought you said, I didn't realize it was Lambda.
Lambda. Yeah.
I thought it was Lambuna.
Oh,
in a production meeting.
No, it's not Lambuna. Quite fancy Lambuna.
Yeah. Good.
No, that's not what it is. It's Lambda.
AWS Lambda.
Yeah.
Yes, I have seen AWS Lambda.
Yeah, yeah.
AWS Lambda being the way of having sort of functions, which you can execute on demand on certain things. So I did an AWS demo where we had something uploaded to their storage system, and then it would event the Lambda happening, and right. then it would do some processing.
Yeah.
And it's, the idea is that you chain all these functions.
Yeah.
I keep using the RWAR terminology there, but you chain all these Lambdas together.
Yeah.
To create integration systems and all sorts of
so
things.
So it sounds like a very similar kind of idea.
Yeah, I mean, one of the big differences is, though, that they have, for the support, say, for .NET, it's not fantastic. You can get .NET running on Azure Functions, but you have to do this weird thing. I think you have to use, as when I was last looking at it, like some kind of node thing that then executes.
Right,
it was really odd, the way it worked.
The Azure support is kind of odd. We'll come to that in a second. It uses a thing called a C# script file, which I'd never heard of before.
Right.
But it's basically exactly that. It's a script that's written in C#. It's not necessarily a full C# project.
Yeah.
I don't really know much more than that about it, I'm afraid, but it's kind of an interesting thing. Anyway, so...
switch from Lambda back to the studio.
Okay, excellent. That's good, because I'm sure the viewers probably didn't appreciate having...
I don't know, like, for some people... Exactly, for some people, that's not going to work, is it?
No. Okay, so about 3 minutes later, you get given this kind of interface, which has got a few things on it. There are kind of wizards that can kind of talk you through the creation of these functions.
I love a wizard.
I'm not sure if I do love a wizard.
Oh, no, not in computer programming. I
just like wizards. Which is weird, given that you've never heard of a muggle. but what we're going to do here is so a function app contains many functions, can contain many functions. So we're just going to create one quickly here. We're just going to do a very simple one just to get the idea across initially. so these are all of the kind of templates that we've got. So there's a whole load of things here, blob triggers, event hub triggers, generic web hooks, there's specific GitHub integration here somewhere as well, timers so it can run on a scheduled basis. So there's loads of ways that these can be kind of initiated. Just to show a very quick hello world example, I'm just going to choose a HTTP trigger in C#. I'm just going to leave the name as the default there. And what this gives us is some pre-written code, which is basically a C# function. Mm-hmm. Let's just zoom in so you can see that. A C# function that basically takes in the query string parameter and writes that back to the response with that query string parameter. So really simple, standard C# code. There's nothing special about this in terms of the code itself. It's just C#. So if we save that, one of the things about the HTTP functions, it gives us this URL. So I'm going to take this URL. And I'm going to use Postman, which is my favorite kind of API testing tool. And I'm just going to hit this URL straight away. So that's come back with a 400 bad request saying that I need to pass a name in the query string of the body.
Excuse me.
If we go back over to the portal, we can see that everything that's happening with the function is being logged. So that call I just made is being logged there.
I think I saw that in the function, actually, that bit where it says C# HTTP trigger.
Yep.
That's actually in your code, isn't it?
Yep. It's in there somewhere, yep.
In the top of it.
There we go. There's a
log.verbose.
Yeah, there we go. So you can see exactly what's going on here. It's pretty cool. So just to make this work, we're just going to put in the required thing here, which is and name equals world. And there we go. It responds 200 OK, hello world.
Oh, right.
So that's just a really simple example of... It's just one to a HTTP request, and it's posting back, hello, whatever the thing is you passed in.
Right, okay.
Really simple, silly example. But that's the idea. It's just executing the code in the cloud. I haven't had to deploy or compile anything. There's no packages to worry about. It's just running and that risk.
Ordinarily, I mean, that's basically a poor man's API. But realistically, what this would be doing is your system would want to fire an event, and then you would go and do some more serious processing, probably, rather than getting a response directly.
Yeah.
This would just be like a fire and forget, usually.
Quite possibly, So, so the next... So before we build our thumbnail generator, we need to do some work with our storage account first, because we want to basically have... Well, I'll go to the storage account first. So under my storage accounts, there is Smart Thumbs. Now, Azure Storage has different types of data that can be contained within it. Mm-hmm. Queues, tables, files, and blobs are the four main types of data. Now, we want to work with blobs here, which is basically a binary object. Mm-hmm. And we have this idea of containers. A container is like a top-level folder.
Yeah.
And we want to have two containers here, one called originals, plural, and one called thumbs. And the idea is... We're going to set up the function so that it triggers whenever you upload something to originals, it generates a thumbnail and stores that in the thumbs container. That's right. The idea of what we're going to do here. So those are our two containers, and that's the storage bit set up and ready to go. So we can now go back into our function, which is under web apps, weirdly. You won't find a thing called functions in there, but I guess that might change at some point, but you have to go to web apps to get to it. And we're going to create a new function now. And this one's going to be a blob trigger in C sharp.
All right.
Okay, so I'll leave that as the name. Now,
you're using templates here. Can you do it? Is there other ways of doing this?
You can have just an empty one. So one of the templates is just empty C sharp or empty node, where you just literally can write your own code. But the templates are quite useful. So this will, one of the things that it has is it has the code itself, it has these integration hooks as well, which is what we're setting up here. So this integration hook is where I'm basically integrating with Azure Storage, and I'm saying what path I want to look at. So I want to look at the originals container.
Okay.
And I'll put slash name there, which represents the file name that's been passed in. And I also have to set up the connection string effectively to my storage container as well, which I can just go in here and browse and just select the one that I want to use. So this is my, that's my sort of incoming integration point. Just let that run for a second. So what I've got here is I've got a piece of code that's basically saying it will take in a blob and then it will log when the blob arrives. And I've got my integration point here, which is saying how I'm connecting to the function, basically. So what I can do now is I can start to work with this. I can upload a file. I'm just going to go back to develop so we can see the logs here. Now, this is where we start to look at Visual Studio. So Visual Studio has got a really great tool called Cloud Explorer. It comes with the Azure SDK, I think. But if you've got the SDK installed, you get this Cloud Explorer tool, which is really good for doing any kind of work with Azure. So I'm going to find my SmartThumbs. There it is. There's my storage account. There's my blob containers. And there's my originals blob container.
There are standalone.
There are, yeah. CloudBerry Explorer is one that does this. And there's a few others. But this is kind of, I tend to use Visual Studio because it works really well. Yeah. So I'm going to take a picture that I've got. Let's just have a look. I've got some files here. I'm going to take a picture of my ridiculous looking brother with his silly beard that I keep telling him doesn't suit him. And I've uploaded that. It's called dave.jpg. And there we go. We can see in the log, what's happened here is...
You've logged the binary.
I've logged the whole binary, yeah. So if we just scroll right the way up to the top. So we can see in the logs that we see C-sharp blob trigger. So that's saying that it started, and then we've got the actual binary data of the image there as well. So obviously in code, I could do something useful with that binary data. So that's pretty cool. Next thing I want to do is just to move this on a bit, is I want to sort of copy that to the thumbs.
That's pretty amazing how quick and stuff it works, isn't it? It's like it's all very immediate.
It is. It's really cool, yeah. I don't have to recompile or republish or any of that stuff. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to set up a second integration to our thumbs container. So all I'm going to do now is copy this file from originals to thumbs as it is to begin with. So I go back into integrate. I go to a new output. Again, I'm going to choose Azure Storage Blob and click select. Now, this is going to be called output blob. And the container here, the path here is going to be thumbs. So remember, we had those two containers. Thumbs name, and then I just need to set up the connection to the storage account.
It could be a different storage account.
Exactly, yeah. And click save. So we've got an input and an output now set up.
Yeah.
Just check that that's saved. I'm just going to go to my snippet manager here and copy a bit of code. I'm just going to overwrite everything we've got there. Now what this code does is it takes a stream of my blob, which is the incoming blob on the originals storage container, and then a stream of output blob, which is the outgoing blob.
So it's just saving the same image gets uploaded. Dave will be duplicated.
We'll have two Daves. It's bad enough with one.
Two Daves and a terrible beard.
Yes. So there we go. Just click save. I'm just going to clear the log just so that we can see stuff happening there.
Does it reprocess your storage account?
No. It's an event-based thing. So I'm going to have to upload a new picture here. So if I go to originals, let's upload a whole new picture. Let's take Bill Gates and Steve Ballmer doing a happy dance. Mm-hmm. That's one of my favourite pictures. That's uploaded there.
Favourite pictures?
It's one of my favourite things.
You have it on your wall, do you?
I have it in many, many places. Yeah. Now, in a second, we will see. There you go.
I just have this vision of you like looking, flipping through like a family photo album. Oh, there's Steve and
Bill. Yeah, there he
Steve
is.
And Bill.
My old pals doing a happy dance.
Yeah.
Bless them.
Sorry.
It's fine. So there we go. We can see function started, function completed. That's all good. Now let's have a look in the thumbs blob and do a refresh. And we don't see anything. It's called because I called it thumb, not thumb.
Excuse me.
Right. I'm going to have to edit this bit out.
No worries.
I need to remember to do thumb.
That's all right. We should leave this in.
We should leave this
yes.
in. Okay.
That's why it's called Webhack Wednesday.
So I made an error there. I've called it thumbs, not thumb. So we're going to have to upload a third picture now to...
In your logs anywhere, would that have errored?
No, it didn't actually. I kind of expected it would have done, but no, it didn't.
Interested.
Yeah. But there we go. We live and learn. So we're going to upload another picture of my son looking really bored in London because I'd taken far too many photos of him by this point. We're just going to wait for that to come in. So we see started completed again straight away there in the log. Now hopefully if we refresh this, there we go, bored Jamie. So we've taken it from the originals container.
Yeah.
The functions run, it's copied it to the thumbs container. We can see it's the same picture there. And we can see there he is looking really bored. That's what happens. I think this might have been the 50th photo that I've taken on the, I think that's the Millennium Bridge in London there. So that's cool. So we're making progress. So what we've done now is we've responded to a file being uploaded.
Yep.
We've copied a file from one container to another.
Yeah.
And now we're going to get really clever and start doing this smart resizing.
Always a risk when you get clever.
Yeah, well, you know, this is what we're about. So
is it?
It is, kind of. We like to portray that image at least. So we have this set of services called cognitive services. We used to call it Project Oxford.
Yes.
But it's basically a set of machine learning based APIs that do really cool things.
Well, it used to be called Project Oxford and Bing or
and
Cortana,
Cortana Analytics and Bing
and
something or other.
Cleverly now branded it now as
cognitive services.
Microsoft
really
cognitive.
Hard to both say and type.
But it's a sort of word. Cognitive is the sort of word which makes you sound cleverer than you are.
It does, yeah.
Oh, cognitive. We're doing cognitive machine learning.
I'm going to make my function cognitive.
Yeah, you know? Let's do this.
Yeah. But before we do this, let's just have a little look at this API. So the API itself does a load of stuff. It can analyze images and figure out what's in the image. It can even recognize celebrities. I don't know when that would be useful, but it obviously is. It does OCR type stuff. And one of the more sort of simple things it does is generate thumbnails.
Yes.
But it's smart thumbnails. What it does is it identifies the region of interest in the photo and crops the thumbnails around that region of interest. So we just take a little look at, I'll upload another image here. I'll upload a picture of my wife, Laura, there. She quite likes a selfie, Laura does, and this is one of her more recent selfies. So if you look at the kind of how that's generated these various thumbnails, it's focused in on her face as being the region of interest. It's cropped around that area, and it's cropped out other things like the background and the lower part of the image.
And it seems to take particular focus on those glasses.
It does, yeah. Yeah. If we turn the smart cropping off, and just see the difference it makes. Not a lot of difference at all in this case. But I think it's because it's quite a central focused picture anyway. But the idea is it crops intelligently based on what you're trying to do. So let's implement some code to crop intelligently. Now I'll go back to my favorite snippet manager here. I'll just copy this piece of code out. Come back in. I'm just going to paste this in. Now, I don't need to talk through all of the detail here, but this is basically doing the HTTP client request, very standard .NET stuff. I've got an API key, which you can all copy and use in your own applications. Please don't do that. Yeah, please get your own. We've got the base for the API. We pass in this OCP subscription key thing.
This is very similar to when we showed off the Emotions API.
It is almost identical. Yeah, the only real difference is that with this one, you have to pass in a few query string parameters. So the height and the width that you want the thumbnail to be and where you want smart cropping to be turned on or not.
Right.
So I've set this, I've kind of hard coded it to 320 just because it's a demo. I don't need to worry about not hard coding things.
Yep.
But basically, all it does is it takes the response. So this API will respond with a binary file as well.
Okay.
And I take that and I just write that to my output blob there. So
is there an option to, with this particular thing, to get responses of different objects in the same request, or do you have to make multiple requests if you wanted multiple thumbnails?
Yeah, multiple requests, I think. So you do a request per sort of thumbnail size.
Right.
So yeah, you could probably write this to generate a few different thumbnails and a few different sizes if you wanted to. But basically, we're getting a byte array effectively as a response from the API, and all I'm doing is I'm writing that byte array to my output blob.
Right.
So I'll upload an image of whatever size it is. It will resize it to 320 by 320. Intelligently as well.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so let's go. So I'm just going to save that. Clear my logs out again, just so that we can see what's happening here. So if we take another picture, I've got a picture here, which I've deliberately made to be kind of off center. So if you look at this picture, now this picture of me from last year at a conference called HackFronts.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of off-center here.
I took that picture.
You did, yes. Yeah.
I think you are off-center, but that is my composition.
Yeah, you've used the rule of thirds, I think.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I've attempted to do there, yeah.
Yeah, very good. So what we can do there is upload that picture to our originals. There it is. It's going to do its thing. We'll go back into here to see that it's doing its thing. It takes a little bit longer because obviously it's calling off to the Cognitive Service API now.
Okay.
That's now done straight away. If we go to our thumbs folder and do a refresh, there it is. Mm-hmm. Now, if we open this up, firstly, you will notice it's 320 by 320.
Yeah.
And it has cropped. It's still kept the subject, sort of me on the right-hand side.
Yeah.
But it's cropped it so that it's made sure that I'm still in the picture.
Yeah, yeah.
Had that been just a normal crop,
you've just got the background.
Exactly. So if we just compare that to the original picture there.
Oh, that's very clever.
You see how it's cropped intelligently. But you can also see that it's actually resized it to 320 by 320. I don't know how I actually show that in here. File information maybe. There we go. 320 by 320 pixels is what that picture is, whereas the original was really big, 1500 by 700 and something. And obviously I can put in any width and height dimension into that.
Of course, yeah. And so you could ultimately like then have secondary processing on it as well. You're doing there a smart crop, but then you could also do things like squish the file size and stuff like that, depending on if you've got APIs to do that stuff for you.
Yeah.
Which is quite a common thing that you might want to do with your images, which is run through some kind of process to reduce
Absolutely.
The size
Yeah,
of
you
the
could
image.
Optimize them maybe, that kind of stuff. There's loads of things you could
convert
do
them from JPEGs to PNGs or whatever.
That. Yeah. And it's great because it means that in a scenario where you're using images, like an e-commerce type scenario where you want to generate different thumbnails and different sizes, you just upload the original high resolution image and this will just run. You don't need to do anything else and it will put all the images in the right place. It can rename and do whatever you want.
You're basically putting out of work all of these people with Adobe Photoshop.
Yeah.
Well, I used to work in an e-commerce site and there's a guy which did that. Like they took the pictures and then produced it in like 1,000 different.
Yeah, I've got a little a Windows application that does it.
Yeah,
yeah, but this is way easier.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
So cool. That's it. That's Azure Functions. So it's basically code in the cloud. You can initiate them using a whole load of different things: timers, triggers, event hooks, you name it, HTTP requests, and they just run code. And with C#, you can pull in NuGet packages and do all sorts of stuff as well. It's quite early days, so I think the dev story is a bit. I kind of had to develop this in ASP.NET and then port it, like because this is your IDE at the moment.
Right, I was going to ask that because with other things like the what's something which is similar to this mobile services.
Yeah.
When you've got you can write little bits of code in that, and originally you only had like a web interface, and then they subsequently added a way of editing it through Visual Studio.
Yeah.
So a bit like the...
I'm sure that will come.
Yeah, I would imagine so. Because you obviously want to source control these things as well.
Yeah, and, well, actually, one of the things you can do, if you go into Function Apps, it's already got continuous integration with Azure. So we've already got source integration with this. I don't quite know how it picks which files to pull in and which files it doesn't.
Yeah, okay.
I think
still some work to be done.
It's early days and there's a lot of stuff coming for this, but it's a neat feature.
It really is.
It does some cool stuff.
I think the cool thing about this and AWS Lambda is this ability to create very complicated workflows, but these very individual functions which do one thing and then they get evented to happen. Yeah. I can imagine orchestrating very complicated applications with this. My worry with both these technologies is slightly like how complicated, how it would all fit together and how you'd know that it was all fitting together. Like you could imagine this getting a little bit unwieldy.
Yeah, you could. I mean, I think the sweet spot for this is kind of like almost like this example of generating thumbnails is an ideal classic scenario for this, because it's kind of a workflow thing that you need to do. Lots of websites, lots of apps have this problem of having to generate and optimize their images. This is just a really easy way to do it by just uploading the original and letting it take care of it, care of it for you. So there we go.
Sounds wonderful. Thank you very much. That's it for another episode of Web Art Wednesdays. We'll see you next week for another web topic.